Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. LegalShield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? LegalShield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Welcome to Ruthie's Table 4, a production of iHeart Radio and Atomize Studios.
Most nights, Jimmy Fallon and I are hosts. We both have a number of people we reach out to. For me, 180. For Jimmy, 1.8 million. I am a pilot of a small plane, and Jimmy is an astronaut flying to the moon. As a chef, my hosting is through cooking in the River Cafe. Jimmy sings, dances, talks, and makes people laugh on The Tonight Show. Over 35 years, I can easily spot a food lover, and from the first moment we met, I knew Jimmy was one. A food lover studies the menu, asks questions, wants to explore the kitchen, and the people they care most about meeting are the chefs. When they're finished eating, often they want to start all over again. Curiosity is the key. For Jimmy to have interviewed thousands of people over so many years, you don't just have curiosity, you need to be a virtuoso of curiosity. So today on a gray winter day in New York, we're sitting here at 30 Rock, two friends to talk about memories, cooking, children, and more. A chef and a star, a pilot and an astronaut, joined by love of food and each other.
Do I interview you or do you interview me? That's the question.
Well, we could do both.
That's the hardest thing about this.
Yeah, somebody said the thing about an interview, Ruthie, is you can't interrupt your guest. So that's the hardest thing, is it?
Yeah, it's always listening to everybody.
So you have to listen.
Yeah, so something like that. My first ever interview I ever did was Robert De Niro. He's a great guy. So good. The thing about Robert De Niro is that he doesn't really talk. He doesn't really like to talk.
Okay.
So if you ever talk to him, you go like, Robert, I can't believe you're here. You're on the show. Welcome. Thanks so much. You live in New York, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, yep. I go, wow. Wow. Okay, what's the next question? And I go, I go, you love Italian food, right? And he goes, yep.
Yep.
I go, okay, I'm going to another page. You can hear the sweat. Flop sweat forming on my head. I was like, oh my gosh, he's the nicest guy. He just did me a favor because you couldn't book people when I first started. You know, it was a brand new show and no one knew if the show was going to be a flop or a hit. So he did me a solid. And we've had him back many times. Now he talks. Now he slaps you across the face.
Somebody said that it can be a technique with journalists. We once had a journalist doing a profile of Richard and he hung around the house for days. He would never say anything. And so I would, you know, talk, because somebody's got to talk, you know? Yeah. Well, we're talkers.
Do you remember when I first kind of came up to you at your restaurant, and I hopefully didn't attack you, but hopefully. I was such a fan of yours. Because I collect cookbooks.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite cookbooks is River Cafe, the one that's
what
all
color,
silver.
The blue one? Oh, the silver one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the easy.
Yes,
the
easy. And it's one of my favorite cookbooks for years. I love it. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, can't believe I'm meeting you. And I'm like, I'm at the River Cafe. I'm like, show me everything. And you're like, well, we have a new book. And I go, let me look at the new book. And then you were showing me how the restaurant has grown.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Before we even get to the food, the restaurant was awesome.
But that's you. I mean, we remember. We talk about the time that, you know, Jimmy Fallon came in and wanted to know everything. As I said, he wanted to meet the chefs. He wanted, what wood do you put in that wood oven? And when you make the pasta, do you boil it? Because I think also that I'd like to ask you a question. So how do you do a show? How does a pilot, you know, fly a plane. How do you know that the lamb comes out the same time as a pasta?
I'm very intrigued. I want to know, why did you choose this silverware to go with this? You know,
I know, but we love that. We love that curiosity. Have you ever worked in a restaurant?
I never have. I don't know if I could do it, to be honest. I don't know if I have the patience.
You might, if a chef, you were a chef, maybe.
Maybe I could try to do it. I love to get in there and cook, and I love to do different recipes. I love it. Meditation for me almost.
Is it? Yeah. Well, that's a conversation. But for now, should we start out with your recipe? Because that is the idea that everybody reads a recipe. So what recipe are you reading?
It's a recipe from the River Cafe Lookbook, which is, by the way, genius, whoever thought of the idea. I'm assuming it was you.
Yeah, well, three of us.
It is matching art pieces with food on these photos. When I was a kid, I remember my grandma used to do a lot of babysitting for me. And I would go over and she had one cookbook. It was a Betty Crocker cookbook.
Yeah.
And the pictures were so great. It was like a cherry pie. And it wasn't like we were making them, but I would just look at the book and flip through the pages and look at all the awesome photos. And that was, for a kid, that was like my favorite book to read. Yeah. So I think this is brilliant. I'm honored to read a recipe now.
Okay. Well, what are you reading?
All right. This is for lemon ice cream.
Okay.
Which sounds intimidating.
No, but it's the shortest recipe.
Here we go. Finely grated zest of one and juice of three lemons. I can do that. 1 cup castor, in parentheses, super fine sugar. 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt.
Ooh. Teeny little bit. The sea salt we use is what they call Malden salt, which you can flake with your hands.
So
it's a bit saltier than salt.
Yeah, it's the fancy salt. I do like
really
the flaky salt, yes.
Really
and
fancy.
Then you have 15 ounces, scant 2 cups, double heavy cream. What is scant?
Scant means almost. It's, what do you say, Zad? Scant means not measurable. It's like a scant, you say.
Scant
you know,
cup.
It's like a little. A pinch.
A pinch of 2 cups. That's a big pinch. 2 cups of double heavy cream. That's it. That's the ingredients. Lemons, sugar, salt, and cream.
Exactly.
Okay. You need a lemon squeezer. You need a grater. You need a scale if you want. Measuring cups, measuring spoons, bowl, spoon, freezer-proof container. Let's see what you have to do here. This is the only ice cream we know that doesn't have to be churned. What?
Yes.
Be sure to wash the lemons. Roll the lemons before you squeeze them to get the maximum juice. I do that, by the way.
Do you do that?
I'm a gin and tonic drinker.
Yeah.
So I take my lime and roll it.
Roll it. Limes particularly, no?
Yes, because the juice out there. Yes, you need it. Nothing worse than like a pulpy, dry lime. Roll the lemons before you get that maximum juice in a bowl. Mix the lemon zest and juice, sugar, and salt with a spoon. Slowly add the cream, carefully mixing with the spoon. It will immediately thicken. Put the ice cream mixture in a 1 liter, 1 quart, freezer-proof container and freeze for 2 hours to harden. That's it?
That is it.
What?
I mean, honestly, it is. Because of the lemon and the cream, basically you're eating cream with lemon and a spoon. It's delicious.
My gosh.
Yeah.
I'm doing this tonight.
Do it tonight with the kids. The kids will love it.
That's fantastic. I just want to say, I love the colors on this.
You know, my husband did an airport in Madrid called Barajas Airport. Have you ever been to Madrid?
No.
And he loved color. And so every beam is a different color. It's like the rainbow and it just takes it. So we thought, how do you follow those photographs? You know, you follow them with color.
With color. So, it's brilliantly
done. And every
single
page is a different color. So it just makes it a bit even more.
Do you think about that when you do not only your cookbooks, but your restaurant?
Everything. I think color,
shape.
I think like you were saying, lighting. I trained as a graphic designer, so even the food, the way you put food on the plate, not in that fancy arty way with a little squidge or that kind of thing. We don't do that.
No.
But if you're going to put a piece of sea bass on the plate and you're going to put a lemon on the plate and you're going to put some spinach or cannellini beans or whatever, baked tomatoes, you really think about how you plate that. And it's very interesting to see the way young chefs plate, you know.
Yeah. Do you watch people's reactions when the plate comes to the
Always, yeah. I mean, I try,
table?
You know, because you know we have an open kitchen. So
yes,
we're it's a live performance. It's like you, when you get up there and you have your audience. And of course, we don't get applause and we don't get boos. What I always look for is to see if they share.
Oh.
So then you can see the reaction. You know, they go, well, I don't know if you can do this on audio.
Yeah.
Or they go, can you do this on audio?
This.
How do you make it?
Yeah,
well,
do you go,
that's it.
If people are just tuning in, they don't know what kind of show this is.
They wonder what's going on, exactly.
I'm moaning. Welcome back to Moaning with Ruthie.
So we could go back to the grandparents in the yard.
Yeah, that's safer.
But living with your grandparents, tell me about your grandmother.
She was Norwegian and Irish, and she was my mom's mom, and she lived with us. She lived in our backyard.
In the backyard?
Not in a tent or something.
I have to tell you that I was with my 7-year-old granddaughter. We were going down the street, and I said, you know, I used to live on the street. And she went, oh, poor you. And I said, why? I said, that's a really nice street to live on. She said, but you had to live on the street.
On this block.
You didn't have a house.
They didn't live in my backyard.
So your poor grandmother was in the backyard.
She was in a tent. Yeah, we fed them. They were well fed. But they were in a little cottage in our backyard, but shared our address. So they were basically our neighbors. You know, so they helped raise me, actually. So I go over there, and there really is no good Irish cuisine, unfortunately. I could say that as an Irish person. That's why you never see an Irish cookbook, because everything is boiled.
Potatoes.
Boil it. Oh, what do you got? Oatmeal? Boil it. Yeah. What do you got there? Cabbage? Boil it. Boil it with the corned beef. Boil everything. And you go, okay, this is the worst cookbook I've ever seen. Okay. So that's why you never see that. So we kind of tried to steal from other cuisines. We had Italian neighbors that were great, Polish neighbors, and then my grandmother was Norwegian, so we had a lot of like meatball type of things. My grandmother would always be, you know, she had that rule, if you drop it on the floor, not only is the 5-second rule, you're allowed to eat it, but Jimmy would eat it. Oh, okay. She would feed me. Whatever fell on the floor, I would get. I got all the scraps, yeah. But I loved it, and I loved the way she cooked, and I just washed her hands, and my mom, too. They always had, like, something on them. My mom always had, like, hamburger meat or something on her hands. Like, she would answer the phone.
With
something on her hand and then hang up, and I go, Mom, you got to wash. I can't pick up the phone after you if you...
But she'd keep it on,
Oh, no, my God, it's disgusting.
But living with your grandparents is quite something, though, isn't it? Because you have... There's the cooking is shared.
It's very family-style cooking, and that's what we always ate.
How many of you?
It was me and my sister. That's it. I had one sister, my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And,
Did your mom work, or did she...
She stayed home and raised us. Nice. So it was a lot of my mom cooking stuff like that, and always experimenting and trying stuff.
Did she experiment? She would also
lie to us too a lot. I mean, she said, like, we had a meal every year, almost every day of my life, called pasta vazool.
Vazool.
Pasta vazool.
Oh, isn't that in a song? Vazool.
Yeah.
What song is it?
So like pasta vazool. That's amore.
When the moon hits your eye,
like a big pizza pie. That's amore. When your mom lies to you, says it's pasta vazool, but it's not, because it's not. It wasn't.
Pasta
she was
vazool.
So it's a kind of soup.
I knew it was in a song.
It's an Italian soup. And it wasn't when I was growing up. It was basically like macaroni noodles, ground beef and pasta, and beans and garlic.
Nice.
And garlic powder and salt.
Was it good? What did she lie about?
I loved it. Well, that's not what pasta vazool is.
Oh.
Pasta vazool is a soup, but we did sans soup. It was like a really chunky soup. There was no liquid. It was very dry almost. It was actually disgusting.
But a lot of Italian soups
almost like
are
I would
dry.
Call it gruel if I had to name it for her. That was her thing. And then I remember she was like, she has a very like kind of New York-y voice. Like, Jimmy, do you want a grilled cheese? I go, thanks, Mom. And I knew that she made it because I would hear her scraping the burnt off the toast before she gave it to me. She always burned my grilled cheese. But she's hilarious. My mom and my dad were...
Did your father cook?
I don't remember him cooking, no.
Not even like kind of man things like barbecues and stuff like that.
I mean, barbecue, he would arrange the briquettes, you know, and light that like it was a big masterful thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really, Dad, it's just a pile. It's always a pile of briquettes.
It's always the barbecue that meant for it. Yeah. What was the kitchen like? Was that out in the yard as well?
Yeah, a lot of open space in our house. Yeah, we lived. You know, our kitchen was where we would have the parties. And everyone would always drink there
and
hang out.
So it was a big house?
Tiny, cute country house, but our kitchen was red and blue. It was like, oh, man, I lived there, basically. I mean, every big event was in the kitchen, birthday parties, hanging out after school with my friends. We'd all just go in the kitchen. We'd hang out with my parents. We'd drink with my parents and hang out with them. And the music was in there. We'd always listen to music. My dad always loved doo-wop music.
Like
do 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 do. So we would listen to doo wop music, and he served in Vietnam. He was in the Navy.
So how long was he away for?
He was gone for, I mean, I this is before he had me, but it was 3 years, I want to say, on the ship.
Wow.
But he loved doo wop, and he would always play these reel to reel tapes of him and this group singing on the ship. And they'd sing all like, Gloria. Yeah, they'd sing all these songs. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, cool. And when I got older, I watched these movies about, you know, Vietnam War or something. And they never played doo-wop music.
Wow.
They would play Jimi Hendrix. They'd play, you know, stuff like that. And I go, they're missing the point. Everyone's listening to. Turns out my dad was just a nerd. I think I know more doo-wop songs than I do modern songs. But I remember he had me, as a kid, climb up. We lived in upstate New York, and he had me climb up into the house and put wires all over in the attic just so we can get reception of this radio station, WCBS-FM in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
It was probably terrible for me and Gloria with all the radiation from those wires, but...
Did you have meals, family meals around the table? Would you sit down in that beautiful kitchen of yours?
We would sit in the living room.
Did you have a dining room?
We had a dining room that we'd use on Thanksgiving and Easter, I think.
Yeah.
You know, basically the only times we went to church, we would use that room.
Yeah.
The kind of big events, you know, we would have in the dining room. But our most of the time we had dinner together every night, watching TV.
Watching TV.
And we'd had those TVs. Tables.
Those
fold-up TV tables.
Yeah.
And with their cheap metal things, you click them together and set it up, and everyone would make a dish and then come out and you'd eat together and watch TV.
Yeah.
You'd watch Barney Miller or whatever.
And would you do homework?
Then I'd do homework and then
your evening.
They would watch TV the rest of the night. We'd do the dishes or whatever like that. But
it sounds kind of nice.
I loved it.
It really sounds nice.
I love that. I loved hanging out with family and eating and talking. My mom just loved food, and just always there was always something cooking somewhere, either her or my grandmother, just again sloppy hands, things everywhere, sauces being made. It was good, and I think and experimenting and trying different things, and I would always try to do something every Thanksgiving. I'm making braised fennel this year.
Did you?
I tried.
Did you make fennel?
Braised
fennel.
Can
I just say, you grew up in Saugerties?
Yes.
I grew up in Woodstock. What about it?
What are you talking about?
I'm a Woodstock girl.
No.
Yeah, 100%. I went to Onteora.
You are so cool. You went to Onteora?
I went to Onteora.
Oh my, I'm Saugerties High. What? All the cool kids went to Onteora.
I
went to summer school there.
There was a choice where we could have maybe gone to Saugerties or gone to Onteora. Imagine. Onteora was great. But it was like a 45-minute ride from Woodstock to... But we used to go to the movies in Saugerties.
The Orpheum.
On Sunday nights.
No way.
Yeah.
That was my first movie theater. I saw everything there. I went to summer school. Yeah. I should say it like I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
But I went to summer school in Woodstock.
In Woodstock? Oh, Woodstock, the elementary school.
Right by the on the green.
Yeah.
Right on the green.
So you know that golf course?
Yes.
That's where my father, we lived on Chestnut Hill Road.
Oh my God. Wait, what was the place that there were all the bands used
Bird
to perform?
Cliff. They used to go to there's Bird Cliff.
Yep.
There was up on the mountain, you mean the outside Maverick? There was Maverick.
It was like a bar almost.
Yeah.
It was like a bar, but like REM would show up there and
When I went, you know, I'm pretty old. So when I went there, that was just after Dylan, because when my parents went there, it was an artist colony. You remember that when you come into Woodstock from Saugerties, there's the Arts Students League.
Yes,
and
of course.
And so it's like Philip Guston was there. A lot of great artists were there. And then Bob Grossman. You're interviewing me, by the way.
It happened.
Oh,
see?
Happened.
It just happens this way. So this is what it is. It ends up, I knew I was going to do it. I got you.
And we're only supposed to talk about food. Though I did meet Dylan in a bar.
Is this when he got in the motorcycle accident?
Yeah. He got the motorcycle accident up in Woodstock.
My mom, I went to Woodstock, I'll bring it back to food. Mm-hmm. My mom, I went to, when I got Saturday Night Live and started to get famous, I would go home to say hi to my parents. And she always wanted to go out to eat and show me off, you know.
Mm.
But I wanted to eat homemade cooking.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't want to go out every night. I live in New York City. So, but she's like, let's go out.
Yeah.
I go, all right, we'll go out. I go, but don't make a big deal. She goes, I'm not going to make a big deal. I go, I know, but sometimes you do, and I just want to go, and, you know, she goes, all right, let's just go. So we went to Woodstock.
Yeah.
It's a great restaurant in there. We walk in, they sit us at this one table, and she goes, I don't know if I like this table. I go, don't start. Don't start something. You start. She goes, I'm not starting. I'm not starting anything. I go, stop. You're raising your voice. So let's just have fun. Let's have a good time. Don't make a big deal.
Great.
So we get drinks. She orders, what are you going to have? She goes, I'm going to have the lamb chops. I go, great. I order, my dad orders. We're sitting there. The food comes. Hers doesn't come. So she's like, where's my lamb chops? I go, don't make a big deal. You promised. And she goes, I'm not making big deal. You know what? I'm just not going to eat. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Now, what are you doing? So when the lamb chops come, you're not going to eat the food?
Yeah.
She goes, I'm not going to eat it. I go, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is making it. She goes, oh, look, it's coming now. So it comes now. Like she's mad. She goes, I'll eat it. And she's cutting it all mad and angry. And she takes the first bite. I'm not kidding. She goes,
joking.
I go, you're kidding me. Are you joking? She's like, oh. And my dad puts his finger down my mother's throat.
Oh, God.
And she's going like, and he's doing, gagging her,
this
trying
is behind,
to pull.
Before
no,
the
then woman runs from down the restaurant. She goes, I'm a nurse. Oh, knocks over stuff. She's like, banging in and knocking in everything. The table's getting knocked over, going over to my mom, and she grabs my mother, and my mom made these noises I'd never heard her make before. And she's going, oh. And then a ball of lamb flies out of her mouth and hits the wall. She sits down, she's crying, and my dad says, thank you.
Really,
and I look to my mom, I go, this is not making a big deal. Exactly what I asked you to.
Can I just
are you
say something?
Kidding?
Your mother was right. She did. She shouldn't have eaten. You know? She should have.
Looking back on it, she shouldn't
back,
have eaten that
the
lamb.
The mistake was yours,
yeah,
that you
my,
made.
My dad's
maybe,
joke,
you know,
was that lady, the nurse, should have minded her own business.
Yeah.
Maybe it was her time to go.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Help helps is a maxim I believe in. We all carry around stress and hardship, and when we keep it inside, it starts to chip away. Therapy is a safe place, and therapy is for everyone. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Visit betterhelp.com/Ruthie today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ruthie. BetterHelp.com/Ruthie.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Did you eat out in restaurants? Was the family occasions to go out to restaurants, or was it
our
rare
big deal growing up? Because we didn't have that much money, so Pizza Hut was a big deal. Pizza Hut would have indoor seating, and it was like a big deal. They used to give you the sizzling pan of pizza with a special handle because it was so hot. And there was a video game table. You could play Pac-Man and Caterpillar. So me and my sister would play Pac-Man while we were waiting for the pizza. There was a salad bar. I mean, remember salad bars?
Yeah, of course. Of
that
course.
Was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. And so going to the Pizza Hut was for an occasion that was, would it be somebody's birthday or somebody's anniversary?
Yeah, or someone did good on a test or, you know, on a weekend on a Friday night.
Yeah, go to Pizza Hut.
Let's go. And Pizza Hut was a big deal. And then there was another place called the Ground Round that was like a new
where
restaurant.
Where was that, in Saucony's?
It was in a mall in Kingston. And we used to go there, and there was a guy named the Balloon Man, who was a creepy guy, a weird mustache, and he used to wear a cape. And a t-shirt that said the Balloon Man. And he would go up to little kids like, how old are you? You know, he was definitely a little scared. He probably drove a van. You know what I'm saying? And so I go, how old are you? And then he'd let the air out of the balloon and he'd do all his tricks. And he's like, are you married yet? You know, and you go, oh, my God. And so we'd try to dodge the Balloon Man while we go. And
what age would that be?
I'd say that those my teenage years. I'd probably say 13 or something like that. And we were going to the mall. We loved hanging out at the mall, which... Amazon has made sure that there are no malls anymore, but it was fun hanging out at the mall.
And when you started going to restaurants, was that a revelation when you went to a restaurant and you didn't have the salad bar or the balloon?
My first revelation was when I had to pay for my food. I'll never forget it. I did stand up at this place, Something Harbor, and I was by myself, and I did stand up. I was probably 18, barely driving. I drove myself to this gig and did the gig, and you get paid, you know, whatever it is, $50. And I got paid, and after the gig, I did well. And the owner said, Jimmy, you did really well. That was great. I want to give you a little bonus. And gave me another $50. It's $100.
Yeah.
It's the best thing, best day of my life. So I go, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go buy something. And so across from where I was staying at this tiny, you know, comedian's condo, They usually have a condominium where the comedians live and stay. Yeah. You live with the other comedians.
Yeah.
Very weird. But I went across the street to this diner, and they had pumpkin pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
I had never had pumpkin pancakes. And I go, I like to have that. You know, I looked at the menu, it was special. And they brought it, and I knew I was paying for it with my own money. And it just tastes like the greatest thing I've ever tasted in my life. I'll never forget it. Anytime I see pumpkin spice latte and I make jokes about it or pumpkin anything, I go, I always think of those pumpkin pancakes, and that was like a game changer for me. Like,
but that is food and memory, isn't it? I mean, that you can remember that feeling.
I'll never, 18, ever forget it.
You know, like, you didn't tell me about the stand-up or about the place, you talk about the food.
Yeah.
And you're not alone. You know, a lot of these interviews are with people who were not entitled, whether it's Michael Caine after the war living in a little tiny hut, or Paul McCartney said that he remembers the first time he was able to buy himself good food to eat. That was a big moment.
Yeah. That was one of the reasons I used to
and
play.
And he really saw his success, almost his success, in terms of what food he could eat. And I thought that was interesting.
When I used to play the improv in Los Angeles, you know, I do a bunch of comedy clubs, but when I ever played the improv, my mom would love it because they fed you as well. They paid you $7, but they fed you so anything on the menu. So my mom, I would call my mom. She's like, you tell Bud Friedman that thank him for feeding my baby. I'm so happy you're doing the improv. You know, she was always so proud. I remember my first Saturday night that I got to perform at the improv, which is a big deal. I'm waiting to go on. I'm brand new. And Jerry Seinfeld walks in.
Oh, really?
And sits down. I go, oh, and this is the peak of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, my gosh. I went out to a payphone, and I called my mom, 1-800-COLLECT, because I had no money. I called her Collect, and she goes, I go, Mom, Jerry Seinfeld's here. She's like, oh, my God. She goes, is he going to do stand-up? I go, I don't think he's going to do anything. He's just here eating right now. And I was like, oh, so wild. So I go in. She goes, oh, my God, have fun. It was so exciting. So I go in, and it's a Saturday night. It's a big deal. And, of course, he decides to go on. So Jerry Seinfeld goes on. He does all of his bits, like, what's the deal? What's that? He's doing his whole giant thing. Standing ovation, crushes. It's the best stand-up you've ever seen. And then they go, all right, who's next? Is Bob some of the... And Bob goes, I'm not going to follow Seinfeld. And they go, all right, who's... where's Kevin? Is he going to come? Kevin's like, I'm not following Jerry Seinfeld. And they go, all right, who is Jimmy Fallon? And I was like, that's me. He's like, all right, kid, you're up. So they introduced me. I had to follow Jerry Seinfeld on my first Saturday night at the improv. And it worked out because I did an impression of Jerry. Yeah, so I had like a doll and I did like...
Had you always thought of doing that anyway? Or you just had
I didn't think about it. Yes, yeah. Since he was there, I'm like, how would I follow this? But I had to follow him. But I love the improv because you used to get to eat.
Yeah. They gave you the food.
They gave me food, It was, there would be chicken fingers or whatever it was, but I remember it was something, but that's chicken tenders.
And when did you go to your first real restaurant where you felt that you were, that you could afford to eat? Was that
probably Saturday Night Live, I think, when I got Saturday Night Live. I started going out with Lorne. He would take the cast out. So then you kind of go, oh, this is what restaurants are like. This is what I have to dress like and understand the whole thing and appreciate all of it. And I remember going to like some fancy restaurants and like Per Se.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I know, Per Se.
Big deal.
Big deal. That's intimidating.
My wife, at the time, we were dating, and she was living in L.A., and she came to New York to visit, and she goes, I was going to ask her to marry me. I was going to propose and surprise her in Gramercy Park. And she came, and I already asked her dad for permission. She came, and I go, hi, honey. She goes, hi. She goes, I have a surprise for you. And then in my head, I'm like, I hope it doesn't mess with my surprise. Because I have a real surprise. I have a ring waiting for you. So she goes, I got us reservations at Per Se. I go, oh, my gosh, that's the place I've been dying to go to. I mean, it's Michelin star. It's unbelievable. So I go, okay, I'll do it after. In my head, I go, let's go. Cut to 14 courses later.
Yeah.
14.
Yeah. Tasting menu, those menus. I was it 14?
I was wasted.
Yeah.
I was out of my mind drunk. Yeah. I was like, I didn't even know what the last two courses were. I'm like, and I was eating the napkin. I mean, it was just terrible. I was just a disaster. So when I get home, I go, I can't ask her to marry me now. I'm a mess. And I call my brother-in-law now. And I go, he goes, did you do it? I go, I didn't. I went to Per Se. He's like, why don't you do it at Per Se? I'm like, I thought in my head, like, what if Per Se closes and now it becomes like I don't know, a strip joint or something, or a laser tag place. I don't want to tell my kids. That's where I asked your mom to marry me, in the strip club, you know. You never know.
That's very forward thinking.
Thank you.
I have to say that is very kind of future.
I want to think
really
that the classic moves
for
are,
the
yeah.
future, yeah.
So then I didn't ask you for another.
Gramercy Park, there was no chance of that happening.
He goes, go to the bar, go to Molly's, go to the bar right now and ask her. I go, okay, hold on. I go, honey, do you want to, and she's in pajamas, do you want to have another drink? She goes, you want another drink? Like, do you have a problem? I'm like, oh, I'm not going to start off my marriage like this. So I passed out.
What did you do it in the end?
I waited 6 months.
6 months? Oh, really? That's interesting. Do you know, people propose...
I didn't know you could hear someone roll their eyes over the...
Over the radio, But that is 6 months.
It's a long time. So I ended up getting married with my wife.
Yeah.
I go to the doc and I said, don't cry, because I'm a very emotional person. Mm. I said, let her cry first, if you're going to cry, because it's a big deal. I have the ring in my pocket wearing my bathing suit. I took out the ring, and as soon as I got down on one knee, I totally started crying. Mm. And I was like... When two people love each other, she thought I was having a stroke. Aww. She's like, oh my God, are you okay? Yes, but,
what did you eat at your wedding? Did you have a wedding with food?
Yeah. We had a whole weekend of food. Mm. So we want to make
sure. Where did you get married?
Ready for
in
this?
New Hampshire.
No, get ready for
Socrates?
This. No.
Okay,
up.
Let's see. Up, sort of. The coolest. Oh, Niagara Falls.
Cooler.
Cooler than Niagara Falls. Adirondacks?
No. Think bigger.
Bigger than the Adirondacks. Canada?
No. No, bigger than Canada.
Lauren is from Canada.
Yeah, Lauren is. Yeah, Lauren would love Canada.
Lauren,
no,
forget what he said about Canada.
No, I'm saying
bigger than Canada. Alaska?
Necker Island.
Oh, Necker Island. What? How did we get up there then? Necker Island.
I'm thinking big. Just think of anything.
Oh, I thought it was Richard Branson's place, right?
Yes, Damn, it is.
Like, what were we doing? You said up.
Well, I'm thinking.
Oh, you didn't mean upstate.
Up money wise.
Oh, I was really.
Okay. I'm talking about how expensive a wedding can you get.
Okay.
Richard Branson. I'm like, so I went to his spot.
Yeah.
And it was the best.
Yeah.
He has a
can
party
remember
island.
Everything you ate. Yeah.
It is so fun. They had sushi chefs in the pool.
Wow.
We were the most boring people to ever stay at Richard Branson's island. He's so fun. And he says, he's like, Fallons, good morning. Would you like to go race in the submarines? Yeah. You know, we're like, no, thanks. We're happy in the pool.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, would you like to fight each other in, with blow torches? And you go, or whatever. I go, no, we're good. Richard, thank you very much for these. Do you want a zip line over your dad while he gets attacked by alligators? I go, no, thanks, Dad. I'm sorry. I want to get married. My dad's fine over here. Thank you very much, Richard. We were the most boring people. We had a blast, though.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
My famous story is that somebody once ordered a cake and they said, would you write, will you marry me on the cake? So we made the chocolate nemesis and we wrote, will you marry me? And halfway through the meal, he came up and said, cancel the cake. I know.
No.
I promise. It's amazing. Wow. What happened that he canceled the cake?
You know? Oh, my.
We never found out.
No way.
Yeah, cancel the cake.
God, but, you know, and then who did you give the cake to?
Oh, we probably your just husband? Ate it ourselves.
You got married to the next person.
People do very private things, you know, in public space. So, you know, the idea of proposing.
I was gonna, yeah, I didn't want to do it there.
Yeah, maybe not.
So
where,
I waited.
Where did you do it in the end?
Her family has a summer house in New Hampshire on Lake Winnipesaukee. It's gorgeous. It's unbelievably beautiful. And it means a lot to her, you know, this family summer house. So I have the ring. Everyone knows I'm going to do it. And I go, okay. I go, I'll just have a cocktail with her on the dock and I'll do it there.
What was the cocktail?
Gin and tonic.
Remember, this is a food program.
Yes, yeah. Gin and tonic.
Okay, the gin and tonic.
Which I started drinking because of going to England. I stayed at a place called Miller's.
Did you? You had your first gin and tonic.
Notting Hill. It was a B&B.
Yeah.
It was for all the, a lot of cool kids would stay
there.
Yeah,
very cool.
So I went there, and Martin Miller was the owner. Yeah. And so he goes, Jimmy, if you'd, pardon the accent, Jimmy, if you'd like to come down to the living room before we go out to dinner, we'd like to have all our guests here, just have a cocktail. And I go, sure, of course. That's great. So I went down to have a cocktail. He's like, you made it. He's like, would you like a gin and tonic? And I go, no. No, thank you, man. Because I was like, I threw up in it when I was in high school. And I can't even go near this stuff. Yeah. And I could tell he was upset. And he's like, I go, did I upset you? And he goes, no, it's just that, you know, we've got ranked like, you know, 99 out of 100 in Gin magazine or something. And I go, whatever you want. I go, make
gin
me a gin.
And tonic
I
don't care. Magazine.
Yeah, some magazine. So I go, whatever. But he made me a gin tonic. It was the most refreshing, best thing I ever had in my life. Martin Miller's gin, I still drink it to this day. I made Timberlake drinks it because of me. Now, it's the best. I love that. And still, and now my wife drinks it too.
Just two questions. When you go to a city, right?
Yes.
When you go to London or Paris or Los Angeles or Buenos Aires, do you think about what you're going to eat in that city?
Always. I do research ahead of time.
Yeah.
If I'm going to D.C., I got to go to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Okay.
You know, London, River Cafe, always. Yeah. I mean, we have to. It's if
what
you're
you
anywhere,
do.
If you can
it
get
also do you ever go to the markets and see what's there? Do you see
Yeah, I do.
Because that's a nice way to know a city, isn't it?
Yeah, to walk around and
to
see.
To walk around and see what's on sale. So I'm going to just say that I love you, and you are so sweet to do this. And if you think about food, this is the question I was told in podcast school, that you have one question to ask everyone. And so the one question I chose is if food alleviates hunger, and food is communication, and food is getting around the table, and food is love, it is also comfort. And so if you had to go to a food when you needed comfort, what would that food be? And I can tell you that Jeff Goldblum said a bowl of cereal, and Brian said a bar of chocolate, or somebody says pasta. So you can think about it. I'm offline now, right? You can just think for a minute.
Comfort for me, there's so many. My immediate thought was pizza. I know it's such a New York American thing to say, but a slice of pizza is just always there for me. I would loved it since I was a kid. I love it now. Even, you know, good pizza, bad pizza, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I've got a slice, I fold it in half and I eat it. I usually get it with pepperoni, but it's the greatest thing. Yeah, pizza is my comfort food. I will run to your pizza.
Let's go and have pizza.
Let's go.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy.
I love you.
Love
so
you.
So good to see you.
Thank you for listening to Ruthie's Table 4. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate and review the podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp
provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.